Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Job 36:11, if they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Job 36:11. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 35. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to open our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God. We are dealing now with a subject that I believe is very, very important to all of us. We, as believers, have an enemy. That enemy, of course, is the thinking of Satan. And we're going to be dealing for a few weeks with the subject of satanic thinking. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in a few moments, we're going to begin our reading with verse 1 and read down through verse 5. So if you'll open your Bibles, please, to that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and study. Father, we are the recipients of Your grace, and we thank You so much for the fact that You care for us and love us and have blessed us so richly. We're still alive, and that means that You still have a plan and a purpose for our existence. And so we bow to express our thanks today, not only for life, but for eternal life. We're thankful that You've given us life that will last forever. But we're thankful most of all for eternal life because of our relationship to Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to live with Him throughout eternity. We pray that we will be able to see today again the importance of utilizing spiritual truths for our souls, that we might be the kind of believers we ought to be in the brief years that You have us on this earth. These are wonderful days. These are challenging days. These are important days for all of us. And so we pray that we will be very attuned to what You have for us. And help us to be willing to listen attentively and carefully to what God's Word says to our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, 1. Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. I ask that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm sure that you're able to see that we have before us today a magnificent verse of Scripture, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Before I even begin to exegete that verse, I want to share this information with you. And that is that you and I have a responsibility as believers to be aware and to be knowledgeable of the fact that we have an enemy. In other words, we need to realize that our enemy exists. We need to realize that he is subtle. We can spend a lot of time on point one, but we're not going to do that today because our emphasis is on the third point. Know your enemy. Point one. He exists. Satan exists. He is subtle. The second point is that he has power. He has strategy. He knows what he's doing. He has a plan. And we must study God's word to be aware of that plan. And the emphasis for this day is on point three. Our only protection is truth in the soul. Our only protection is truth in the soul. And that's the reason why we have the scripture before us today, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I'll give you a few moments to take this in case you are copying what is on the screen now. Know your enemy. Number one, Satan does exist. He is very subtle. Number two, he does have power. We must realize the power of Satan. In the scripture, we have specific words that describe power. One of those words is the word dunamis, which is the word from which we get our English word dynamite. There is no doubt in any of our minds here today that Satan's power is strong. He has strategy. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing. And we must be aware of who he is and what he's doing. We must be aware, thirdly, that our only protection is truth in the soul. By now you have that. And so we go back to our verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:5, and begin the exegetical study. I need to tell you, before we even begin to exegete this passage, is that believers are commanded in the Word of God to be influenced by truth, God's Word, and not by evil. That's the reason why we see on the back of the bulletin today verses of Scripture. One of those is 3 John verse 11. If you'll take your bulletin and look at it, please, you'll notice that we'll present this in more detail in the second session. But it says, "Beloved, follow not the evil, but the good. The one doing good out of God is. The one doing evil hath not seen God." That's a very powerful passage of Scripture. And I have a question for you, and you can think about it through the rest of this service while I'm preaching and be able to answer it in the second service where it says, "The one doing evil has not seen God." I need to just settle your mind right now before we get to that second service to let you know that the last word down there on the back of your bulletin is an emphasis upon the word seeing God. This is not an emphasis upon salvation. This is an emphasis upon the observation of what God is in store for every believer. And the word there is horao, which is H-O-R-A-O. You will notice it's the last word down at the bottom of your page on the back of your bulletin today. It is H-O-R-A-O. It's the word from which we get our English word horizon. It's the word which means taking a long look. And so this is simply saying that the individuals who are involved in satanic thinking, who are involved in evil, do not have a horizontal, they do not have a long look at God's plan for their lives. The desire that I have for all of us is that during these coming weeks, we'll be able to have the kind of look of God that we should have. Let me give you, first of all, an introduction. What is evil? Evil is the thinking of Satan. We've already given you this. We'll be giving it over and over again. Because I believe that we're going to have to understand that we have in this world two different types of thinking. One of those is the thinking of God, which is divine thinking. The other, on the other hand, is satanic thinking, or the thinking of Satan. You and I, if we are not under the influence of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, are going to be captivated and influenced by satanic thinking. If we are properly related to God and the Word of God and utilizing truth on a day-by-day basis, then we will not be under the control continually of the old sinful nature and will be successful and victorious and triumphant in the Christian life. So many people today are living frustrated, perplexed, bewildered, confused lives as believers. And that is not God's plan at all. And so what we're going to try to do over these coming weeks is to emphasize the importance of thinking God's thoughts, having vertical viewpoint, seeing from God's vantage point, rather than being under the control of our sinful nature and being under the control of Satan's thinking. So number one, evil is the thinking of Satan. Number two, evil reveals Satan's genius. Evil reveals Satan's genius. This just simply means, and I've said this many times, there are two types of major thinking. There's the genius of God on the one hand, the genius of Satan on the other hand. Number three, evil is the satanic sphere of power. Evil is a satanic sphere of power. Number four, evil is the involvement with the cosmic system. Evil is the involvement with the cosmic system. It's important for me to share with you, number five, evil distorts God's grace. There is an emphasis today on anything and everything other than God's magnificent grace. So evil distorts grace. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Number six, evil despises authority. Evil despises rules. Evil despises discipline. Evil despises law and order. You can put any one of these down or all of them down. Evil despises authority, rules, discipline, law, and order. This is presented to us in Psalm 50:16, where it says, "But unto the evil, God says, what right do you have to distort my laws?" Number seven, evil rationalizes and wants to avoid guilt. Evil rationalizes and wants to avoid guilt. This to me is one of the most important things that I can say. Evil rationalizes and wants to avoid guilt. In order to rationalize, the conscience must be distorted. And to distort the conscience, Scripture must be set aside, and non-scriptural standards must take its place. Boy, have I said a mouthful there. I want you to see that oftentimes Scripture is distorted, and oftentimes the conscience is distorted. And when the conscience is distorted, then the Scripture is set aside. And when Scripture is set aside, non-scriptural standards must take its place. And that's presented to us in Isaiah 5:20-21. By way of introduction, one more point, number eight, evil is destructive. Evil is self-destructive. Psalm 34:21. Evil people often try to solve problems of the world by human ingenuity and human efforts. I don't know whether I can really do this or not. I'm going to try. I want you to take a look at the verse of Scripture on the back of your bulletin and on the screen if you can see it from where you're sitting. I want you to see how powerful this verse is. It is telling us, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers. And most of you here today are familiar with the writings of the Apostle Paul. Most of you are aware of the fact that there was a reason for the first book being written and a reason for the second book being written. Most of you are aware of the fact that the Apostle Paul had some problems with people in the Corinthian church. I'm sure that you remember that when we studied the Corinthian church, we were aware of the fact that almost anything and everything that they could get involved in that was improper, they did. And I don't need to get into all the details, but even to the point of incest and even to the point of getting all emotional in relationship to speaking in tongues and a lot of different things, most of you are familiar with those ideas and concepts in this passage. The Apostle Paul was accused of being bold when he was away and not all that bold when he was in their presence. My desire is to be bold in the presence of you in teaching God's Word and then also being bold when I'm not around you. Anyway, I want you to see how the verse begins. It says, demolish strongholds. All right. Now, what I'd like for you to do is, if you'll take the back of your bulletin and you'll do some writing or take notes, and let's see what all that means. The word logismos or logismus, L-O-G-I-S-M-O-U-S, it's in the accusative plural there. It's an emphasis upon every proud, arrogant thing that is against God. That's one way that you could define the word stronghold, demolish strongholds. We're dealing with the first word, which is a second word in translation, and it says demolish strongholds. So that means to do away with the concepts that are hostile to Christ. Do away with the concepts and ideas that are hostile to Christ. That's the word demolish. It is an emphasis also on the fact that there are people who are involved in what we would classify as deceptive fantasies. Deceptive fantasies. All right? Now, that's the word stronghold. But now let's look at the first word in the verse, which says demolish. Let me give you some synonyms. Cast down. Pull down. Refute. Destroy. Take down. In other words, what this is saying is that you and I, have, as believers, have a responsibility to understand and utilize the spiritual weapons that we have. In other words, spiritual weapons were designed for the express purpose of taking our thoughts into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but this is quite a challenge. When it says that you and I have the responsibility of taking every thought into captivity and under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going slowly enough for you to be able to see that that's a human impossibility. Could you say that all of your thoughts are heavenly thoughts? Are you able to say that all your thoughts are divine thoughts? Are you able to say that the thinking that you have every single day is in keeping with God's plan for your life? Now, we're getting down to where we live. So we're asking the question, are we utilizing the spiritual weapons that have been designed for the express purpose of us taking the thoughts that we have and putting them into the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ? He tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it says, demolish, tear down, pull down, refute, destroy strongholds. Take down every proud, arrogant thought against God. Tear down every concept that is hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tear down every deceptive fantasy. Boy, this is getting where we live. This is getting right down where we live. Now, we're not even very far in the verse yet, and I'm already condemned. We're not that far into the verse, and I'm able to see that you're condemned if you're really listening. Demolish strongholds. Take advantage of the spiritual weapons. This is what I'm going to call the storm shelter of the soul. I think we can identify with that. Storm shelter of the soul. When we lived in North Central Texas, the people had storm shelters. And Joyce and I would leave the seminary and go out to our church on the weekends. And we had not air conditioning. We had what we call the water window fans, if you're familiar with it. Water window fans. And oftentimes, during the night when we were there, storms would come up. And we would be in our front bedroom, and we could see the lights of a car headed toward that window with that water window fan. And then in a little while, we would hear some voices. And it would go like this. Brother Roy, Brother Roy, a storm is coming. Storm is coming. And what they would want us to do is get up, get dressed, and go down to Mr. Guerin's house because he had a storm shelter. Now, let me tell you something. I think I would rather die outside in a storm than being down in there with those spiders, spider webs, and all that canned goods, and all those things. In fact, one day, we were at our house, and the ambulance came by, and they went down Jones Street. We had a Jones Street. And they went down, and, you know, in those days, when something like that happened, the preacher got in the car and followed the ambulance. He wanted to go see what member was having the problem. And so I went down there, and you know what they were doing? They were taking a dead man out of the storm cellar. That lets me know that when your time gets here, you can be in a storm cellar or wherever you are, and you're not going to miss that appointment. Are you listening? I'm trying to get over a point. In other words, here's what I'm seeing. They were saying, a storm is coming, a storm is coming. And they wanted to secure protection for us. Our spiritual protection is having a storm shelter in the soul. And you notice what the title of the sermon is today? The only insulation from evil is truth. That's what this is saying. All right, let's go on. Demolish strongholds. Then it says, and every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God. Oh boy. Does this take me into all kinds of things in God's Word? One of the major things it takes me into is an emphasis on the word knowledge, gnosis. And then it takes me into the importance of the word epinosis, which means full knowledge. This is saying to us we have a responsibility of demolishing, casting down, pulling down, refuting, destroying, taking down every proud argument against God. Tear down all the concepts that are hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pull down every deceptive fantasy. In other words, be aware of the fact that you have to have a storm shelter of the soul. And the truth of God's Word is the only storm shelter that you and I can have. But look at this. It's every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God. I'm amazed when I see this. It takes me to a passage which we've already analyzed. And we want to see it again. You want to write this down. If you missed the service when we dealt with this verse, then be sure that you get this down. Romans 12:21. Be not conquered by evil, but conquer by the good the evil. Now, it's important for me to share with you the words that are found here. If you'll look up here, you will see that there is the Greek word nikao, which is the word from which we get our girl's name, Nikki or Nikos, Nico, Nicole. If you have a friend whose name Nikki or Nikos or Nicole, their name means victorious, triumphant, a winner. This says, don't be conquered by the evil. This is a command to every born-again believer. Every person in this room today, having been born into God's kingdom, this is telling us that you have a storm shelter in your soul if you'll utilize God's truth. Take it in and utilize it. And you are commanded here not to be controlled, conquered by evil. Did you notice how the word is used? It's an imperative verb. It's a command. Did you notice how the word is used? It's a passive voice, which says, if we're conquered, we're the recipients of being conquered. In other words, we listen to and we allow satanic thinking to control us. And that's the way we're conquered. Now, please notice that we've got some verbs here that are very powerful. And this is telling us, whatever you do in life, don't be the recipient of being conquered by evil. Evil is satanic thinking. We've already discussed various facets about evil. But this is telling us, whatever you're doing, don't be conquered by evil. As I told you last Wednesday night, in the Greek there are negative adverbs. There are four different kinds that I know of. Three of those are strong, real strong adverbs. And one of those is what I would consider less strong, if you could say it that way, less powerful. And when you have that negative adverb, it normally goes along with verbs in the subjunctive mood, which is potentiality. What's amazing to me is that we have it right here with that word may. That's that weaker negative adverb. But what I see here is it's unique in that this negative adverb goes along this time with a verb in the imperative mood, which is a command. So it's telling us, God is commanding us in relationship to our attitude toward evil, but we still have volition. We still have choice. We still can make decisions on a daily basis whether we're going to allow God to direct us or we're going to allow the old sinful nature to direct us. Now, I don't need to tell you that you and I have old sinful natures. There's no reason for me even getting over into that because we know that. But this is telling us with a command, whatever you do and you have a choice, you have volition, don't find yourself continually being conquered by satanic thinking. That's the reason why it's a first P, present tense, continuous action. Do you folks realize why I love to tell you what a verb means? Is it okay? After all these years, 37 years past, in 38 now, is it okay for me to keep on doing this so that I can help you to see how powerful God's Word is? Okay, thank you. I just want to get your approval because I'd like to stay a few more years. Someone is saying, are you about ready to retire? No, I'm getting retarded, but not retired. That's okay. No, I'm not there yet. Be not conquered by the evil. Okay, but, and that's the Greek conjunction of contrast, which is A-L-L-A. But, please follow me now. Conquer. This time, if you'll notice that P-P imperative, present passive imperative, but look at this one. Present active imperative. The difference is, up here, the passive voice means subject receives. Down here, the A stands for the subject produces. This is saying, whatever you do, don't be the recipient of satanic thinking by yielding yourselves to the control of your sinful nature. But down here it says, get with it, friend. Take hold. You have a responsibility. You're to do something. Active voice, subject produces the action of the verb. But realize that when you're told to do something, you're going to be told to do something that you cannot do. Oh my. If you're told to do something that you cannot do, then what are you going to do? The thing you're going to have to do is realize that since you cannot do it, you have to have some outside help. Okay, what's the outside help? But conquer the evil. Notice how I skipped over this. Be not conquered by the evil, but conquer the evil. Oh, preacher, what'd you do? You skipped over something. I surely did, because I wanted you to see that I'm skipping over the only way that you and I can be victorious. The only way that you and I can be conquerors. It says, by epsilon nu in the good. A-G-A-T-H-O-S as it is in the masculine case. What is good? Please do me a favor. Write the word A-G-A-T-H-O-S, agathos. Agathos is the word which means God's good, intrinsic good. The only thing that will help us in life is what God can do for us. If you're trying to live the Christian life by yourself, by your own ingenuity, by your own efforts, by your own flesh, so to speak, you're going to be a failure. We're not going to be able to be successful. We're not going to be victorious. We're not going to be triumphant if we're depending upon ourselves. It will not happen. And then I have to tell you that the Scripture says, whatever you are going to do, be aware of some dogs. Now, where are we, preacher? Where'd you just go to? Okay, I'll show you. In Philippians 3:2, it says, beware of dogs. Now, I don't need to go into this because I've already done it, but it emphasizes those who want to lead you astray and get you off. In this case, the Judaizers. It says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil men. And I need to tell you that the word evil men there is the word which means workers of evil. There are a lot of workers of evil today. You see it on television. You see it in the newspaper. You hear it on the radio. You see it in magazines. You see it when you get around friends. Evil, evil, evil. What's evil? Satanic thinking. Thinking that is not in keeping with God's thinking. It is horizontal viewpoint, not vertical viewpoint. Now, please notice this, and we have to see it just before we have our break. Beware of evil men. Beware of the concision. Oh, my. As I said Wednesday night, and I don't want to be rude, but I want you to know that the word circumcision is the Greek word tome, which means cut. Peri means around. Now, I don't need to go into any detail here from a medical standpoint, but I think all of you are adults and understand what circumcision is. It's the cutting away. But this word is not peri tome, because it's related to what's happening when people are against God's plan and they are not utilizing God's truth and they are doing something against God's grace that cannot be explained in any other way. The word here is kata, K-A-T-A, tome, which means to chop down, is kata, down. It really literally means that people are chopping down the grace of God. Many ways to do it, but people are chopping down the grace of God. Oh, years ago when it came to the point of establishing this church, I wondered about a name. And the name that just hit me hard was Grace. And I thought about that. We were in our home thinking about the new church. What would its name be? I was aware of the fact that my wife's dad had been for many, many years a Baptist minister, and I knew he would have some difficulty. But he was snooping around on my desk and he saw Grace Bible Church. I thought that was a good title because this is the emphasis, grace. And what's our book? The Bible. And then it's a church. Have you ever thought about Grace Bible Church being a good name? And he just kind of, and I knew I was in for trouble. And he says, Roy, I noticed that you have a name down there that you're going to name your new church. And, you know, I mean, he, bless his heart. Most of you who remember him coming to our church here and singing for us and preaching for us here are aware of the fact that he came along so beautifully and so acceptant of what took place in our lives at that time. Grace Bible Church. I thought about it seriously over a period of time. Thought about it extremely seriously. And I have concluded that we did the right thing, because the people who've come here over the years understand that the reason for this church is God's grace. And the reason for this church is to communicate the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, word by word, and syllable by syllable, someone would say. Look at it. You and I have a responsibility. Beware of those who are on the wrong track. Beware of the evil workers. They're all around. And beware of those who are in the business of chopping down the grace of God. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we realize today that we have such a heavy responsibility. We realize also that God's grace is being rejected on so many different areas and so many different ways. We're thankful for the grace of God. We realize that the Scripture says, "For by grace you're saved through faith." That salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. We are aware of the fact that we have a responsibility of utilizing grace and living our lives in accordance with your plan. We know that there's joy and peace and contentment and happiness when we choose to follow the footsteps of our Lord. And for those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to see that when God loved, He loved the world. And that when Christ died, He died for everyone. And that's the reason why the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life." We are thankful that the Scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." If there's someone in this auditorium who's never done that, Father, help them to realize that they could do that right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We're thankful for that's what the Bible says. And as we go now to our break, we pray that you'll help us to be thankful for the wonderful blessings of life. In Jesus' name, amen.